22. This is the last recorded message that the Apostle Paul left for us, and I hope that we can find some encouraging words for us here today. Would you stand with me as we read God's word? For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus city. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd use your word through your Holy Spirit today to give us strength and encouragement and empower us to be ready to stand no matter what may come in our lives. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Don't be discouraged, because discouragement is something that is easy to come in our lives in all different kinds of circumstances and situations. And so I thought I'd start out this week. We had the privilege of keeping Matthew and Crystal's little parakeet. And that made me think of the story of Chippy the parakeet. So you will forgive me if I start out with that story. Chippy was a parakeet. He was a happy, singing little bird until one day, his world was turned upside down. One day, his owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. At that moment, the phone rang. She turned to pick it up. Just as she said hello, she heard a sucking sound. Chippy had been sucked into the vacuum cleaner. Since she loved Chippy, she immediately put the phone down and opened the vacuum cleaner. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him, raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. By that time, Chippy was soaked and shivering. Since she loved Chippy, she immediately grabbed the hairdryer and blasted Chippy with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. Sucked into a vacuum cleaner, soaked with water, and blasted with hot air all in a matter of minutes. He is no longer the happy singing Chippy. Now he just sits there all day long and stares. Many of us have felt like that little bird. Our lives are going along smoothly until one day, because of things that happen to us, our lives are radically changed. Our once bright future has turned into darkness. In times like that, it is easy, even for Christians, to become discouraged. And I remember early in my ministry, I read the story about a sermon illustration, how one day the devil had all of his tools up for sale. And all the tools that he used to tempt people with. And so they were lined up, and all of them had the price tag on them. And some were bright and shiny and looked attractive. And down near the end, there was this one tool that was blunt, it was worn, it was obviously well used. However, strangely, it had the highest price of all. Someone asked the devil, "Why that old worn tool was so expensive?" He replied, "That tool is discouragement. It has been my most successful tool against Christians. If I can just cause a Christian to become discouraged, then I've won the victory in their life." And so discouragement is a problem that we have all faced at one time or another. And today we have read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 22. And these are the last recorded words that we have that the Apostle Paul wrote before he was executed in Rome by the Emperor Nero. He had given his life preaching the gospel and serving Jesus Christ. And how did God repay him? He was arrested, put in prison, and sentenced to die. If anyone ever had a reason to be discouraged, it was the Apostle Paul. However, as I read these verses, I see someone who is filled with hope, not discouragement. And as we study this passage today that was written by the Apostle Paul, I pray that if we are discouraged today in this service, that we can overcome and that we can have the discouragement of our hearts replaced with hope. First point, the reasons why we get discouraged. And we're going to just look at several instances from this passage of Scripture. Throughout Paul's missionary journeys, the Apostle Paul had constantly been surrounded by groups of friends, supporters, and traveling companions. Even in his first imprisonment there in Rome, many disciples came to his side. Now, in his second imprisonment, awaiting execution, he is alone. He had every reason to be discouraged. Being forsaken by family causes discouragement. Verse 10a, it says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica." After encouraging Timothy to come to him quickly, in verse 9, Paul explains that Demas has forsaken him. Whatever family Paul had during his ministry, he had those men who traveled with him, who accompanied him, but now he seems to have lost them, lost many of them. And the family of God became his family. And we don't know any circumstances behind Paul's personal family, his parents, his brothers, sisters, and so forth. Perhaps when he became a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ and apostle of the Lord, that they all abandoned him. So his family became this group of friends and companions and co-workers and people who were sharing with him in the ministry of the gospel. The household of faith, the family of God, became his family. Demas was part of that intimate group. We know little about Demas, except that he is mentioned three times in the Bible. In Philemon, verse 24, Paul describes him as a fellow laborer. Then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul refers to Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So at one time, Demas was in Paul's inner circle. He was one of his co-laborers. He was one of those who was helping and supporting Paul in his ministry. And yet, in these verses today, Paul says, he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And the tense of this verb, forsaken, is very strong. It literally means to leave in a lurch, to abandon in a time of need. To paraphrase, Paul was saying, Demas turned his back on me when I needed him the most. The tense suggests that this wasn't a gradual abandonment. It seems to have been a climactic, sudden event. Demas suddenly turned his back and walked out on Paul. Paul says, Demas loved this present world. But in verse 8, Paul says, all who have loved is appearing. You see, Paul says that my greatest hope, my greatest joy, my greatest desire is the hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for love of this present world, Demas has abandoned me and he has abandoned the Lord. Demas left danger and discomfort at Paul's side to pursue ease and comfort and pleasure. He resigned. He quit when the going got tough. He departed for Thessalonica. Have you ever had a Demas in your family, in your church, in your circumstances? People that you trusted, that you loved, that were standing beside you, and suddenly they abandoned you. Today, some are abandoned by a spouse. I have had friends who were pastors whose wives left them because they didn't want to live the life of a pastor's wife and to serve the Lord. There is no greater hurt than that. Yet, I thank God those two friends that I was thinking about when I wrote this, college classmates, they refused to be defeated and discouraged, and they continue to serve the Lord today. And that's the lesson we need to learn from Paul in his letter here to Timothy. But sometimes we live in the same house with family members, and yet we still feel abandoned. We feel abandoned emotionally and spiritually because we don't receive the encouragement and the support and the strength that we need from them. You may feel all alone like the Apostle Paul. It's easy to be discouraged. Some of us as Christians and as churches have had members of our spiritual family abandon us. We've experienced that right here at our church. We have spent time, love, and energy on them. We have helped them. We have encouraged them. We have been their friend. We have been their family. But they deserted us. And sometimes when these circumstances come, it's easy to be discouraged. Second, being left behind by loved ones causes discouragement. Verse 10b, Paul is talking about those who have departed. He says, Christians for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Christians was another of Paul's close friends, but he had gone to Galatia. We don't know anything else about this believer. But Titus was a close friend and a fellow pastor, and he had gone to Dalmatia on the eastern shores of the Adriatic. Paul says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. In verse 12, Paul says, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. These men had left. They had departed from Paul. Not like Demas. They had not abandoned Paul or forsaken the gospel ministry. They were going on with their ministries. God had directed them to other fields. Though they didn't desert the apostle, their absence added to his loneliness and made it easier for discouragement to set in. Often in life, we are like the apostle Paul. Our loved ones have to leave us. And I remember when Barbara and I was 24 and she was 22, and we left to go to Taiwan. We left our parents and all of our family. And I wonder if they never expressed it to us, but I wonder if they were discouraged because we had left them. Children do grow up and leave home. Sometimes our job transfers us to a distant city and we have to leave family and friends behind. Pastors often face the same problem. They go to a church and God blesses their ministry. They have a church family that surrounds them, supports them, and encourages them. Then God leads them to a new field of ministry. Once again, they're alone. The deacons they had depended on and the church family that they loved are no longer there. It's easy to become discouraged. Then thirdly, being attacked by enemies causes discouragement. Verse 14 and 15 says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. In these verses, Paul mentions this man, Alexander the coppersmith. Perhaps, and I think probably so, that he is the same man mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, that says, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Alexander evidently opposed Paul both in word and in deed. Some have suggested that when Paul was on trial before Nero there in Rome, that Alexander became a witness for the prosecution at Paul's trial there. Was Paul bitter toward Alexander? Did he plot revenge? No. He turned him over to the Lord. He says, may the Lord repay him according to his works. He remembered God's word. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Paul simply predicts Alexander's coming judgment. Further, he warns his friend Timothy, beware of this man. The attack of our enemies leads to discouragement. It added to Paul's feeling of loneliness. And the question comes, do you have an Alexander in your life? Do you have someone who is opposing you, seeking to hurt you? Sometimes we have people who are going behind our back and seeking to destroy and hurt our ministries and our life and our influence. I remember reading in John Maxwell's book, he tells of a pastor friend who for years received anonymous phone calls at 3 a.m. in the morning. The phone would ring. He would answer it, but no one would be there. One day, he had a funeral for one of his church members. It took him a few weeks to realize that the phone calls had stopped. Next, being deserted by friends causes loneliness. Verse 16 says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. At Paul's first defense, or his preliminary hearing before Nero, he says, no one stood with me. He faced the judge and the prosecutor all by himself. He says emphatically, all forsook me. all of his friends left him. One man, Eugene Peterson, has paraphrased that. They all ran like scared rabbits. And I don't know about you, but my mind goes immediately back to Matthew 26 and 56, where it says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." That was when Jesus was arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane and was taken to the high priest and before Pilate and Herod and tried, and all of his friends, his disciples, fled. Perhaps some of us have had problems at church or at work or at home when those problems came and we needed them the most. Our friends weren't there. They left us. They didn't stand with us. If so, we're in good company with the Apostle Paul and Jesus. It's not easy to stand alone. Even then, Paul was not bitter toward his friends. We see his forgiving spirit in the words, "May it not be charged against them." Colossians 3:13 says, "We are to be bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Then the second main point, and the last one: how to overcome discouragement. How can discouragement leave us? First of all, we need to draw close to those who are near you. Verse 9, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is his close friend, his co-worker. Paul had been his mentor. And Paul says, "Timothy, I need you now. Please hurry and come to me." Paul loved Timothy with all of his heart. Two of his personal letters that we have recorded, 1 and 2 Timothy, were written to this young co-worker. Paul called Timothy a true son in the faith, and again, a beloved son. In verse 9 of our passage today, Paul says to his dear son, "Be diligent," meaning do your best to come to me quickly. Paul said in verse 6, "The time of my departure is at hand." He knew he would die soon. He wanted Timothy close to him. Paul at that time didn't have a lot of people, but he grew close to those who were near: Timothy and Luke. And perhaps you don't have a large family or a large circle of friends, but draw close to those you do have. They can provide you with comfort and encouragement during times of trial when you feel discouraged. Second of all, reconcile with those who have offended you. Verse 11, Paul says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." Get Mark and bring him with you. He is useful to me for ministry. We all probably remember the story of Mark. He was a young man who was very active in the life of the early church. Acts chapter 12, verse 12 tells us that the early church met in his mother's home. His uncle, or maybe his cousin, I'm not real positive about that, Barnabas, took him along when he and Paul began their first missionary journey. Mark was to be their young assistant. He had the opportunity to work with and to be groomed by and mentored by the greatest missionary and apostle of all. But Acts chapter 13 and verse 13 tells us that in the midst of their first missionary journey, Mark left them. He quit. He went home. He abandoned them. So when Paul was planning his second missionary journey, Uncle Barnabas again wanted to take Mark. But Paul was so angry with him that he refused to take him. And this led to a tremendous argument between Paul and Barnabas so that they separated their ways. Paul took Silas. Barnabas took someone else, and they went on their missionary journeys separately. But now, time has passed. Mark has proven himself in the ministry. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul recommends Mark. And he tells Timothy, bring Mark with you. Finally, in that lonely hour, as death was approaching, Paul wants young Mark at his side. He says, he is useful to me. Perhaps because of Paul's encouragement, Mark was renewed in ministry. He went on to write the second gospel. If you want to overcome discouragement, reconcile, forgive, show love, do whatever is necessary to repair a damaged relationship. Then thirdly, to overcome discouragement, we need to utilize our time. Verse 13, Paul says, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Even Paul in his last days, knowing his execution date was soon to come, he was still busy. He was still involved. He was still focused on the gospel ministry, sending the gospel to all the world, because Paul knew, as he had written, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. We need to be busy as long as there's breath in our bodies. You know, this week, we were up at our national association in Little Rock, and we had a great meeting and heard some good preaching and some good singing, and the Lord blessed. But my cousin Raymond, the one who is on our prayer list, is also up in the hospital in Little Rock, the University of Arkansas Medical Sciences Hospital, and getting treatment for his multiple myeloma. And so we went to visit Raymond. I was privileged to go twice. And the first day we went there, trying to engage Raymond in conversation, he's had a lot of this chemotherapy and everything has kind of affected his mind. So I decided I better talk about something that Raymond is interested in, which is cars. He's been involved in cars, selling cars, repairing cars all of his life. So I told Raymond, I said, well, we had to come in our Sonata because our Dodge van transmission went out and it's in the garage. Well, Raymond didn't say anything for about 5 minutes. But in a few minutes, Raymond said, Dale, I think I've got a transmission for you. Well, I had to go on to tell him it's for a 2007 Dodge Grand Caravan 3.8 engine and so forth. And he said, oh, well, it won't work. But the good part was that he was still engaged. In fact, the doctor came in and he's tired of being up there, but he told the doctor, he said, I'm going to have to rent me an office up here so I can do my work. So until as long as we're breathing, we need to be involved, especially in the Lord's work. So in verse 13, Paul asked Timothy to bring three things. First, he wants his cloak. It was getting cold in the Roman prison, and Paul needed the cloak. Second of all, he also wanted the books. The books is the translation of the word Biblia, which refers to papyrus rolls, which was the common writing paper of the Roman Empire of that day. And last, he emphasizes especially the parchments. The parchment, or vellum, was an expensive writing material made from the skins of animals. The Jews copied the Old Testament scriptures onto the parchments. And so what Paul is requesting was no doubt the Old Testament scriptures. He wanted them there with him. So Paul is imprisoned, but he wasn't wasting time. He wanted his notebooks and the scriptures so he could continue his ministry of writing and preaching. If you are discouraged, don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Follow Paul's example. Begin to read your Bible. Get you some notebooks, and as you study your Bible, record what you learn. There's plenty of work that all of us can do for the Lord. And finally, walk in the strength of the Lord. Verses 17 and 18. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Even though Paul was alone, Paul says, the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. The gospel had been preached fully through him, he said. And God had and would deliver him. His confidence is that God would preserve him. Paul refused to be discouraged because he had learned that the Lord had never left him and that the Lord would never leave him. So many verses we could read. I think of one, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I forget what verse it is, but it says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, all of the things that Paul faced, and yet he says, despite all of these things that have made me weak physically, I'm strong. Because just a few verses up from that, God had said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And that is the promise that every one of us can claim. Robert has mentioned a couple of weeks, our church is going to be celebrating our 161st anniversary. There are few churches that can say that. And I know that over those 161 years, there have been a lot of ups and downs along the way. But I thank God that he has preserved this church. And I'm debating on, you know, one of the unique things about our church is that we have all of the minute books from our church going all the way back to 1853, May the 15th. I'm thinking about going down to downtown Dallas and checking them out, bringing them out here so we can all see them and be encouraged by them, representing the history, the legacy of our church. But I pray that God will give us hope for the future, give us encouragement, make us strong, so that we won't have to live a dazed life as a church like Chippy the Parakeet, but we can be strong and be faithful to him. Richard, come lead us in our hymn of invitation. And I pray that as we give this hymn of invitation,